Hey, everybody, and welcome to a deep dive on a topic that might seem, well, a little unexpected at first. We're going to be taking a close look at constitutions.
Yeah, constitutions. You know, they often feel pretty far removed from our everyday lives. But believe me, understanding them, especially when it comes to this idea of local action, can be surprisingly empowering.
All right, so you know how we've been really digging into Think and Act Locally lately? Well, you sent over some excerpts from Constitutions page to .pdf, and we're going to see how all of this stuff connects. I got to admit, I was pretty blown away to find out that there are, get this, at least 51 constitutions active in the U.S. right now.
That's right. It's easy to just think about the federal one, but every single state has at least one constitution of its own. And some states have actually had several different constitutions throughout their history.
Well, wait a minute. Multiple constitutions in one state. How does that even work? I feel like that could get super confusing.
It all goes back to a really pivotal moment in American history, and that is the 14th Amendment. See, before the Civil War, each state had a constitution created by and for the people in that state. But then the 14th Amendment came along, and it actually created a whole new category of citizen of the United States.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so the states, they needed to come up with new constitutions, or at least laws that acted like constitutions, to govern these new citizens of the United States. That's why you ended up with some states having more than one constitution.
So there's actually a difference between being a citizen of, say, California and a citizen of the United States.
You got it. And that difference, well, it's super important when it comes to understanding your rights and how you can really engage with your local government. Depending on which class of citizen you are, different sets of rules might apply to you. It's kind of like playing for different teams, you know?
Okay, I'm starting to see how this all ties into Think and Act Locally.
Yeah.
But before we go too far, let's back up a bit. What exactly is a constitution? Like, what makes it different from regular laws?
Great question. Imagine this. Think of regular laws as the rules of a game, right?
Yeah.
Well, the Constitution is the rule book itself. It sets up the whole framework, the boundaries, and the core principles that govern how the game's played.
So if the Constitution is the stage, the laws are like the actors, right?
Exactly. And here's the thing. Regular laws are made by the people we elect, but constitutions, they're enacted directly by the people themselves. And they can't be changed easily, like passing a regular law. There's a specific, often pretty tough process to amend them.
I never really thought about it that way. These documents, we usually think of them as being about big federal issues, but they really do have a direct impact on our lives, even at the local level.
Absolutely. It's like having a secret weapon for local action. You know, remember what Patrick Henry said, the Constitution, it's a tool for the people to keep the government in check, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So when you really understand your state's constitution, you've got this power to hold your local officials accountable and make sure they're playing by the rules.
Wow. That's a pretty powerful idea. So if we want to be effective when it comes to thinking and acting locally, it sounds like knowing our rights and knowing which constitution applies to U.S. is crucial. It's not just about national politics anymore. It's about understanding the whole legal framework of our community.
Exactly. And a big part of that framework is how the Constitution sets up the government and divides its powers. It lays out the roles of the different branches, like the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch.
So it's like a blueprint for how the government's supposed to operate, right?
Right. It says who can do what and what limits they have on their authority. This is super important for making sure that power is shared fairly and that one branch doesn't get too much control.
Okay, I'm with you. Understanding these power dynamics, it sounds like that's key for thinking and acting locally. If you know who has the authority to make decisions about things that affect your community, you can focus your efforts in the right place.
You got it. It's about knowing which levers to pull. Let's say you're worried about a zoning issue in your town. Well, if you understand which branch of government deals with zoning, you can take your concerns directly to them.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's not just about knowing your rights in some abstract way. It's about knowing how those rights are actually put into practice and enforced at the local level.
Precisely. And remember how we talked about multiple constitutions sometimes applying within a single state? Well, that's where things can get really interesting and maybe a little complicated.
Yeah. Okay. This is where I start to get a little lost. How am I supposed to know which constitution even applies to ME? And what rights I actually have in my own community.
That's where the Think and Act Locally mindset really kicks in. It's about being curious, doing some research on your state's history and its legal system. You want to understand how your state's constitutions have changed over time and how they might be different in what they say and how they're used.
This is going to become like a constitutional detective or something.
Huh. Yeah, kind of. You've got to piece together the clues to figure out which set of rules applies to your situation. And one important clue to look for is whether a part of the Constitution is self-executing.
Self-executing? What does that even mean?
It's actually a pretty simple idea. Imagine a self-executing provision is like a speed limit sign. It's clear, it's direct, and it's in effect right away. You don't need any extra laws or regulations to make it work.
Okay, and I see.
But some parts of the Constitution are more like blueprints for a building. They give you the basic outline, but you need detailed plans and construction work, in this case, that would be legislation, to actually make them a reality.
So some rights are automatic, and some rights need lawmakers to create specific laws to put them into action.
Exactly. Knowing the difference between those two can make a huge difference in how you understand your rights and how you advocate for them.
This is also helpful. I have to be honest, though, I'm starting to feel a bit overwhelmed by all these details. How can I keep track of all these different constitutions and all the different parts of them?
Hey, don't worry. You don't need to memorize every single thing. The main thing is to have a general understanding of how it all works and to know where to go to find specific information when you need it. And that's where resources like those excerpts you shared can be so valuable.
So it's about having a kind of roadmap of the big picture and then knowing where to dig deeper if I need to, right?
Exactly. That's the beauty of thinking and acting locally. You become an informed citizen, you can figure out which laws and constitutions matter in your community, and then you can use that knowledge to push for positive change.
Wow, I feel like we're being handed the keys to unlock our potential as citizens and really make a difference where we live.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Understanding constitutions, it's not just about some boring legal theory. It's about giving ourselves the power to shape the world around us. And that power, well, it becomes even more crucial when we start talking about what happens to constitutions during times of war. But that's a conversation for another time. You know, it's really interesting when you think about it. Something like a constitution, which we often associate with, you know, big ideas and historical figures, can have such a direct impact on our day-to-day lives.
Totally true. It's like those Think and Act Locally bumper stickers are suddenly taking on a whole new meaning.
Exactly. And as we dig deeper into this, you'll see how connected those seemingly separate ideas really are. For instance, one area where this connection is super clear is when we look at the process of amending constitutions.
Right, amending constitutions. Our source material touched on that, and it seems like it's not just a simple matter of adding or changing things on a whim. It's a pretty big deal.
Absolutely. It's not like changing a recipe. You can't just swap out ingredients as you please. Each constitution has specific procedures laid out, and you have to follow them very carefully.
So it's more like delicate surgery than a quick fix, huh?
That's a great way to put it. When you amend a constitution, you need to carefully consider two things. First, the need for change, and second, making sure you're still protecting those fundamental principles. It's all about finding a balance between adapting to new challenges and upholding the core values that the document is based on.
Now, our source material mentioned that not every part of a constitution can be amended. Is that right?
That's a crucial point. You have to protect the original intent of the Constitution, along with certain inherent rights. You know, those rights considered fundamental and unalienable. These are often seen as the bedrock principles of the whole system of government.
So it's like there are some things that are completely untouchable, a core set of principles that are off limits for amendments.
Exactly. Think of it as the foundation of a house. You can remodel the rooms, you can add on, even change the roof, but messing with the foundation, well, that's risky business. You could bring the whole house down.
That's a really good analogy. But how does this concept of amending constitutions actually play into thinking and acting locally? It seems like something that happens at a much higher level, state or federal, not really something that affects us locally.
You might be surprised. While the actual process of amending a constitution might take place at those higher levels, the driving force behind those amendments, a lot of times, it comes from local communities and movements.
Really? Could you give me an example?
Of course. Think about the 19th Amendment, the one that gave women the right to vote. That was the result of decades of grassroots activism. Women all over the country were organizing, demanding a say in their government.
Wow. Yeah, that's a perfect example. So even though the amendment itself happened at a national level, the push for it came from people all over the country thinking and acting locally.
Exactly. That's why understanding this whole process of amending constitutions is so relevant to local action. It shows us that even at the local level, our efforts can have a ripple effect. They can spark big changes at higher levels of government.
That's super empowering. It means that as citizens, we can actually influence the very documents that shape our society.
Precisely. And that power, well, it becomes even more important when we start talking about wartime and constitutions, because, as you might imagine, that's when individual rights are often the most vulnerable.
Yeah, that's a good point. When a country's at war, things can get chaotic. It
Yeah.
feels like individual rights might get pushed aside in the name of national security.
You're right to be concerned about that. Finding the balance between national security and individual liberty is always a delicate act, and during a war or a national emergency, it becomes even more difficult. That's exactly why the Constitution is so important. It's designed to be a safeguard, even in the toughest situations.
So the Constitution is like a shield, protecting our rights even when there's a storm raging.
Exactly. It's there to make sure that even when the government's taking extraordinary measures to protect the nation, it doesn't step on the fundamental rights of its citizens.
But haven't there been times when the government has, well, kind of stretched the limits of the Constitution during a war?
You're right to be cautious about that. While the Constitution is supposed to be the ultimate law of the land, there have definitely been times when its principles haven't been applied as perfectly as they should have been, especially when the nation's under a lot of stress. Our source material even included a quote from Thomas Jefferson warning about the potential for the government to overreach. And Jefferson, he wasn't exactly known for holding back.
Right. So even with these constitutional safeguards in place, it's still up to the people to hold the government accountable and make sure their rights aren't being trampled on, especially during a war.
Absolutely. That's where thinking and acting locally becomes even more important. We need to be aware of the potential threats to our rights, even during times of crisis, and we need to be ready to speak up and challenge those threats.
But how can we do that effectively? It
Right.
feels like going up against the government, especially during a war, is like, well, the David versus Goliath situation.
You're right, it's not always easy. But even at the local level, there are things we can do. We can educate ourselves and our communities about our rights. We can support organizations that are fighting to protect civil liberties. And we can hold our elected officials accountable, demanding that they uphold the Constitution even when there's pressure to compromise those principles.
So in this context, thinking and acting locally isn't just about advocating for specific policies or programs. It's about defending the whole framework that protects our freedom and our rights as citizens, right?
Exactly. It's about recognizing that the Constitution is not just some old document gathering dust. It's a living, breathing set of principles that we need to constantly protect and actively engage with.
That's a powerful idea. It means we, as citizens, have a responsibility to safeguard the Constitution, not just for ourselves, but for generations to come.
Absolutely. And that responsibility starts with understanding the Constitution, knowing our rights, and being willing to stand up for those rights, even when it's difficult.
This has been so enlightening. I'm really starting to see how understanding constitutions, even at a local level, is key to preserving our freedoms and building the kind of society we want to live in.
Exactly. It's about understanding that our rights aren't just some abstract ideas. They're the foundation of our democracy, and they're worth fighting for.
Our source material mentioned some specific amendments to the U.S. Constitution that really highlight this point, like the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery. That had a huge impact on the legal and social landscape of the nation.
It did. The 13th Amendment was a truly monumental shift in American society. It's hard to imagine a more powerful example of how an amendment to the Constitution can reshape a nation.
But even with an amendment as significant as that one, there's still room for different interpretations and debate, right?
Yeah.
Our source material mentioned something about the way the amendment is worded and how it applies to different places.
You're right on the money there. The way amendments are written and how they interact with other laws and legal precedents can have a big impact on how they're put into practice.
So it's not just about the general idea behind the amendment. It's also about the nitty-gritty details of the language and how those details are understood by the courts.
You got it. And that's where things can get a little tricky. Different courts and even different judges within the same court might understand and apply the same part of the Constitution in different ways.
Yikes, sounds like a minefield. How are everyday people like us supposed to navigate all that legal complexity?
Well, resources like the ones you've shared can be incredibly helpful. They can help us understand how these amendments have been interpreted and used in various situations.
So it's about doing our homework and getting insights from experts to help us grasp all the nuances of constitutional law.
Precisely. And it's important to remember that the law isn't always black and white. There are often gray areas, and it's up to us as informed citizens to participate in these discussions and push for interpretations that protect our rights and our values.
This whole conversation about amendments and interpretations is making me think back to something we discussed earlier, the difference between being a citizen of a state and a citizen of the United States.
That's a great connection, and it becomes even more relevant when we talk about specific amendments.
Yeah.
For example, our source material mentioned the 15th Amendment, the one that gave African American men the right to vote. Well, that amendment applies specifically to citizens of the United States, not necessarily to citizens of a particular state.
So yet again, we're seeing how this dual citizenship thing can have real consequences for our rights and how we exercise them.
You got it. It really underlines how important it is to understand which category of citizenship we fall under and what rights and protections come with each one.
Huh. It's like we need a special decoder ring to figure out which set of rules applies to us.
It can definitely feel that way, but that's another reason why having resources like the ones you've shared is so important. They can help us sort through all these complicated details and make sense of the legal system.
Okay, so we've talked about the 13th and 15th Amendments. Are there any other amendments from our source material that stand out to you in this context?
Yeah, the source material also brought up the 16th Amendment, the one that created the federal income tax. It mentioned that there's a whole separate section on their website dedicated to this amendment. This is a perfect example of how even topics that might seem kind of boring, like taxes, can actually have a huge impact on our lives and our communities.
It's like peeling back the layers of an onion. The more you look, the more you realize how interconnected everything is.
Absolutely. That's one of the things that makes thinking and acting locally so fascinating. It's about understanding that even issues that seem far away, like constitutional amendments or federal tax policies, can actually have a direct effect on our lives and our communities.
It's about seeing those connections, understanding the bigger picture, and it's about knowing that we have a role to play in shaping that picture, even at the local level.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we're not just passive bystanders. We're active participants in this ongoing experiment of democracy. And as we'll see when we explore wartime and constitutions, that active participation is crucial for protecting our freedoms and making sure our government is truly accountable to the people it's supposed to serve.
It's pretty amazing when you think about how these amendments, ones that were often created because of very specific things that happened in the past, are still shaping our lives today.
It really shows just how important these documents are and how understanding their historical context is key.
Speaking of history, our source material also talked about a few other amendments that I found super interesting. Like, remember the 18th Amendment? The one that outlawed alcohol prohibition?
Ah, prohibition. That's a great example of how constitutional change, even when it's meant for good, can sometimes have unintended consequences. It was fueled by this huge social movement trying to deal with the problems of alcohol abuse, but in the end, it led to all sorts of unexpected issues and eventually had to be repealed.
Yeah, it's like that saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right?
Exactly. It shows how important it is to really think things through and have open debates before changing a constitution. It's not something you do lightly, and you have to weigh the potential benefits against the potential risks very carefully.
Our source material also brought up the 23rd Amendment, the one that gave the District of Columbia the right to have electors in presidential elections.
That's a really interesting one because it gives a certain level of political representation to a federal district, which isn't a state. It raises some interesting questions about the power balance between the federal government and the states, as well as the rights of people who live in federal territories.
It seems like DC is in this weird constitutional gray area.
It definitely is unique. And it reminds us that the U.S. Constitution is a complex document with lots of different parts, and how it's interpreted and used is constantly evolving.
The source material also briefly mentioned a few other amendments that expanded voting rights, like the 19th, which gave women the right to vote, the 24th, which got rid of poll taxes, and the 26th, which lowered the voting age to 18.
Those amendments mark some major milestones in the journey of American democracy. They show the constant struggle to make sure all citizens have an equal say in their government.
It's inspiring to see how those changes helped make our democracy more inclusive and representative, more about everyone having a voice.
Absolutely. And it's a reminder that the fight for equality and justice never really ends. We've got to be vigilant, protecting these hard-won rights and making sure everyone has equal access to the ballot box.
Okay, we've talked a lot about specific amendments, but our source material also got into something I think is especially important right now: the role of the Constitution during times of war or national emergencies.
That's a really crucial topic. Throughout history, people have debated how a constitution should function when things get really tough, and that question's still relevant today.
Because, let's be real, when a country's facing a major threat, things can get really tense. And trying to keep that balance between national security and individual liberty, well, that can get really tricky.
You're absolutely right. And our source material highlighted some really interesting legal arguments about this very issue, like whether some parts of the Constitution can actually be suspended during wartime.
I remember that. It mentioned habeas corpus and how that's the only right specifically mentioned in the Constitution as something that can be suspended during war. But to be honest, I'm not entirely sure what habeas corpus even means.
It sounds a bit intimidating, right? But it's actually a pretty simple idea. Basically, habeas corpus means you can't be thrown in jail without being brought before a judge and formally charged with a crime. It's a fundamental protection against being detained for no reason.
So it's like a safety net to make sure the government can't just lock people up without justification, even during a war.
Exactly. The Founding Fathers put that right in the Constitution to make it crystal clear that even during a war, the government can't just imprison people without due process.
That makes sense. But here's what I'm wondering. If habeas corpus is the only right specifically mentioned as being suspendable during wartime, does that mean all our other rights are automatically protected?
That's the million-dollar question, and legal scholars have been arguing about it for centuries. The Constitution doesn't come right out and say other rights can't be suspended during wartime, so there's a lot of room for different interpretations.
So it's kind of a gray area then.
You got it. And that's where things can get complicated. Throughout history, we've seen cases where the government claimed that national security justified limiting certain rights, even if those rights weren't specifically listed in the Constitution as suspendable.
Oh, I see. Can you give me an example of that?
Sure. Think about World War I and the restrictions placed on free speech back then. The government argued that these restrictions were necessary to prevent spying and sabotage, but it definitely raised concerns about suppressing dissent.
Even though the Constitution doesn't explicitly say you can limit free speech during a war, the government still managed to justify those limits.
That's right. And that's why it's so crucial to be aware of these historical examples and to really grasp this ongoing debate about finding the right balance between national security and individual liberty.
It's like a constant back and forth, isn't it?
It is. And it's a struggle that we as citizens have a role in. We need to know our rights, be ready to defend them, and hold our government accountable when it goes too far.
This whole discussion about wartime powers has really hammered home how important thinking and acting locally truly is. It's about understanding that the Constitution isn't just a piece of paper sitting in Washington, D.C. It's a living, breathing set of principles that we need to actively defend right here in our own communities.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's about realizing that our rights aren't just abstract ideas. They're the very foundation of our democracy, and they're worth fighting for no matter what challenges we face.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive. We've covered so much, from the basics of what a constitution is, to the intricacies of specific amendments, and the constant challenge of balancing national security with individual liberty. And we've seen how all of this ties into the idea of thinking and acting locally.
It's been a fascinating journey, and I truly hope our listeners have found it as insightful as we have.
You know, the biggest takeaway for me is that constitutions are much more than just dry legal documents. They're dynamic frameworks that shape how we govern ourselves and protect our rights. They remind us that we, the people, hold the power to create our own future.
Beautifully said. As we wrap up this deep dive, I want to encourage our listeners to keep exploring, keep learning, and keep thinking deeply about how they can use their knowledge of constitutions to make a positive impact in their own communities.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep those minds engaged.